Welcome to Ag Update. Whether it's dates, deadlines, or developments, Ag Update is your source for the latest news in the ag industry. And now, here is Ag Update.
Hey, good morning, folks. It is Ag Update. We are coming to you semi-live from the downtown penthouse studios of Adventure Marketing and Town Talk Radio. And folks, we have got a great, great show today. This is something that I've been wanting to do for quite a while. Friday, the Gin Show started on Thursday. Friday, Plains Cotton Growers hosted their 60th annual meeting at the Gin Show in conjunction with it. And I had the opportunity to introduce an old friend of mine, Matt Rush. And Matt has got quite a deal going. And I'm very thankful that he was there and his message was received with open arms and something that I think everybody in the room needed to hear. And I got the opportunity to pin him down between traveling engagements. And so this morning, we're going to have Matt Rush on and just have a conversation kind of about how he got to what he's doing and what he's doing now. And I think the greatest thing is it's an advocacy thing. And I'm so proud to see it. And I'm really excited about today's show. So, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will come back with our good friend, Matt Rush.
When dealing with farm animals, often there is no time to waste when problems arise. Dr. Jim Ridenour and his staff are available to meet any medical need with your cattle or horses. For in-house service or ranch calls, Dr. Jim is always available. He recognizes that your farm animals are more than just animals. He knows they also represent your livelihood. Call Terry County Veterinary Hospital at 585-6363 for all your animal needs. Large or small, Dr. Jim is the one to see for your animal's medical care.
Cotton farmers, from planting to harvest, you nurture your crop. At harvest, you want to use Meadow Farmers Co-op gin. Since its beginnings in 1935, Meadow Farmers Co-op has prided itself in fast, courteous service to our customers. We provide complete ginning service from the field to the marketing of your crop through PCCA and the Seam Marketing System. Call 806-539-2241 or come by Meadow Farmers Co-op to learn about our service and commitment to you. Meadow Farmers Co-op, celebrating 80 years of service to Terry County.
Texas Ag Plus is proud of Terry County for being the top Texas grape producer in the state of Texas. Texas Ag Plus wants producers to know that they are now selling vineyard supplies. You can get your post, rebar, wire, grow tubes, gripple, pump work, pivot work, underground pipe, and more at Texas Ag Plus. Give them a call at 806-637-4590 or go by their location at 1670 U.S. Highway 62-385 in Brownfield.
Sandia Sprayers strives to give you the best service for all your farming, irrigation, and spraying needs. They offer welding services and can build anything from cattle panels to fold-over toolbars. Stop by the store and shop their name-brand selections of parts and tools such as Makita, Wix, T&L, and Enduroplus. Sandia Sprayers still offers their line of nurse tanks and fertilizer applicator tanks. They provide high-quality products at affordable prices. Give them a call today at 806-387-3049 or stop by their location at 401 Railroad Avenue in Seagrace. No job too big, no task too small.
All right, folks, we are back with Ag Update on Demand. And this morning, we have the one and only Wayne. I always want to say Wayne. That's horrible. Your brother's going to love that.
Yeah,
Matt Rush. And Matt, man, just want to say how neat it was on Friday to get to hear your message to a group of producers and ginners on the High Plains of Texas. I thought that was an outstanding presentation, and I cannot tell you how nice it is to hear somebody who gets up and preaches the fact that we've got to talk about who we are, what we do, and how we do it. And you did it in such an entertaining way. I'm watching these guys as you tell these two stories, and they're all kind of like, I mean, they're laughing, and they're kind of like, okay, well, where are we going to, and then, you know, pow, you know, it just comes across. And it's such a good message and such a timely message.
Well, thank you very much. I do have to point out the fact that you call me my older brother's name. He will get a kick out of that. I always said, you know, in high school, we had a science teacher who gave everybody a nickname. His nickname was Wayne the Brain. I was Matt the Hat, if that tells you anything about our mental levels at all.
Exactly.
But I got to tell you, man, thank you so much for, one, for this opportunity, but two, for plugging what we did last week. I'm doing what I wanted to do from the time I was in the eighth grade. From the time I was in the eighth grade, I knew I wanted to be a farm and ranch guy, and I wanted to speak and train. I wanted to be a motivational speaker from the time I'm this little bitty kid. Always thought I wanted to do that through the political realm, which we'll get into later, but then ended up doing that. I label myself an inspirational speaker and a farm boy because that's what it is. And the Plains Cotton Growers meeting was one of the pinnacles of my career, just out on a personal level, because, you know, cotton on the high plains of Texas is such a big deal. I mean, it is the deal, right? I mean, when it comes to agriculture, we know who's number one in the world, and it's the plains, you know. And my great 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 granddad planted the first cotton ever grown in Lubbock County, which I pointed this fact out the other day at the meeting, that if you look at Lubbock, Texas, for all of you that are listening out there, Lubbock, Texas, if you the 11 top counties that produce cotton in the world are within an 80-mile radius of Lubbock, Texas, which I think is an amazing feat. You know, we have Amarillo right up the road, which within 100 miles of Amarillo, a radius of Amarillo, you have 80% of the cattle in feedlots. So we have cattle in the north, and we have cotton here. And, you know, I mean, that's the heart of ag. And when it comes to cotton, oh, my granddad, one of my greats, I don't know how many greats it was, I think it's three greats back, planted the first cotton ever grown out here.
And you said, where did he carry it to get it? In Colorado City?
Colorado City is what's in the museums. The crazy part about the story, too, is they moved from East Texas, Anderson, the Tennessee Valley colony of Anderson County, Texas. They moved from East Texas to Acuff, Texas, west of Lubbock. I mean, east of Lubbock. And they moved in cattle cars. And he packed Mrs. Rush's dishes in cottonseed for the journey, so our dishes would be protected, and then he'd have seed to plant when he got here.
Wow.
And then they move out, and the Rush family and the Davis family, the Davises are all still out at Acuff as well. They moved in cattle cars, of all things, to get out here. And we got out here, you know, okay, it was ranch country, right? I mean, it was the plains.
It's all grass.
It was all grass, and he starts breaking land out. Cowboys grazed him out the first 2 years. And I always thought, and when you know, growing up hearing these stories, I always thought it was, well, you know, the cowboys didn't want a sod buster coming out here, but it was a race issue. Because with cotton, they were always, typically in those days, you know, it was African-Americans that came to work the fields. And they didn't want that. It was a race issue that they grazed him out the first 2 years.
Holy cow.
And my granddad persevered. And the third year, he planted cotton and he got a crop. And they hauled it by wagon from Lubbock, Texas to Colorado City, which, how far is that?
That's a good, about 2 hour trip now. Now. And so you can imagine that was at least a day, maybe more. Day down, day back, maybe.
I bet it's, yeah, and it was probably at least. Even more than that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love that part of our history. Number one, we always thought it was cool to, you know, it's cool to be the first, right? But then when you find out what he was up against and what he was facing and how he persevered through that, I mean, that throws a whole different light on the situation and makes you really proud that somebody said, hey, I don't care what anybody else thinks about another person. We're gonna do this, and he persevered. Which, in my opinion, goes to ag. Which I can, man, you want me on a soapbox?
Lots of tie-ins.
I can get it on a soapbox quick. That goes to ag about persevering. Because if you're in ag, first, foremost, and always, you have to persevere. Because the bad years are gonna come, and you know, and I just got married in October, as you know, and looking back, you know, just watching Katie being involved in agriculture kind of a little bit for the first time, at least on this personal of a level, and seeing, you know, us plant a crop last year and then not having a good harvest because it didn't get any rain in August, and, you know, Milo burned up.
Oh, gosh.
And cattle prices were tanked last year. So, you know, her seeing that, you know, having a bad year is a bad year, right? I mean, it's not just a moment. It's a whole year of your life that's gone, and then you have to persevere to another year to get a crop. So that part for me was really cool. So speaking at the Plains Cotton Growers was really a highlight for me. It was, you know, I got the call from the Zig Ziglar family to come speak with them, and I always thought that was going to be the pinnacle of my career. And truly, that's like getting called up to the major leagues when you want to be an inspirational speaker, is getting the call from the Ziglar family, and they call me little brother now. And I love that. But, man, that last week was – that ranks for me. That ranks for this farm boy.
Well, it was neat because Mary Jane Berkeley called me about, I guess it was nearly 2 months prior. And she said, hey, we've got a guy that's going to come and speak at the annual meeting. I'd like for you to introduce him. And I said, really? Who's coming? And she said, Matt Rush. And I said, Matt? I said, Matt's going to speak at, I said, man, that's awesome. I said, y'all landed him? And she said, yes. She said I had heard him speak, and I think it was her that had heard you speak. And she said, I want him to do it. I believe is how that went. My memory fades with two 11-year-olds running around crazy. But
you
anyway,
know, they say memory is the second thing that goes.
Yeah, well, I forgot tell you about the first two, was, but anyway, yeah, that's yeah. But you know, just the thing that I like is, and I guess that impresses me is, number one, you've got a deep passion for what you do, and you do it very well. And again, the talk that you gave on Friday was very entertaining, and he's got a couple of stories that he tells that. That I'm like, where are you going with this? And we were laughing our head off, but we were like, where are you going with this? And how neatly it all ties back together and into what your comments were that day.
Yeah, thanks.
But now, I'm going to go back just a little bit, because we met at LCU. You were several years younger than me at LCU, but...
Many years younger.
Always. Yeah, many years. Yeah, listen to him. Yes, I am a geezer. I am a geezer, as my 11-year-olds remind me of. But, always knew then, he's going to do something. My ultimate goal is for him to be president someday. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but definitely has and did then had that personality and has done very well with it. I know you did a lot of work with LCU for a while, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. I know that you told me that you're working with Dr. James Johnson, who was the head of that communications department when I started.
Oh, really?
A great guy. I thoroughly enjoyed him because I wanted an ag comm degree. And Texas Tech did not offer that then. They had, you could get it as a minor, but at an ag ed, and I didn't want to be an ag teacher.
Right.
And about the time I got ready to graduate, they started with ag comm.
Really?
But Dr. Johnson said, hey, we can throw some ag classes in. We can get you what you want. But he said, yeah, you can most definitely do that at LCU. So, special guy.
Cool.
But anyway.
No doubt.
You guys are from Dora, New Mexico, as
the
you said,
D.
at the very end of 19th Street. I hadn't heard that analogy before. So,
yeah, to get to – oh, growing up, you know, when you're going to school in Lubbock, and I loved my experience at Lubbock Christian University, loved the people that I met there, you know, salt of the earth. As I always say, I didn't get to go to Texas Tech. We just prayed for them before we went to their football games, right?
Amen.
And I loved that. But growing up there, people would say, well, where did you grow up? And you know, you say Dora, New Mexico, nobody even knows where that is unless you follow baseball, and then you know Larry Hayes, right? So people wouldn't know where Dora was, and I'd say, well, get on 19th Street and go west. The first stop sign in New Mexico, that's it. And it's like, you know, from Loop 289 to the stop sign in Dora is 100 miles on the dot.
The big city.
Like, the big city. And, you know, I tell groups this now, and especially if I get to talk to any young people. When I talk to a group of young adults, one, I try to, you know, obviously try to be funny because that, you know, keeps people's attention, and I think this world's way too serious anyway. We take things way too personal. But I always tell these young kids in a funny way. I said, you know, I graduated valedictorian in my class, and I ask how many of them are going to graduate valedictorian of their class, and, you know, you hardly ever get any hands go up, and I say, of course, there were only six in my class. And, you know, it's always laughs. You know, I always say, you know, you're from a small town, and be in the top 10%, you have to be number one.
Exactly, right? Exactly, yeah.
And you can always see people's brains running the math in their head, and they're like, that's right.
Slowly but surely.
But here, growing up in Dora, New Mexico, I say raised in obscurity. I mean, the nearest town was Portales. And we're 31 miles from Portales to the south, raised in absolute obscurity on a dirt road on a dryland farm and ranch. And yet, here's a boy from Dora, New Mexico, and I tell these kids, I've traveled all 50 states. I've been in Canada. I've been in Mexico. I've been in Europe. And this fall, speaking, we're working out the contract to go to China and do Hong Kong and mainland China to do some speaking and training over there. And here's a farm boy from Dora, and I've been able to do this, and you know, I've been blessed immensely, but I've also done it with conviction and with purpose and with intent, and we'll get into the point of my speech earlier. But that was it, you know. If I can do that, if a boy from Dora can do that, what can a kid do today? I mean, because look at this was an interesting fact I learned, and I just picked up my cell phone. Did you know that the technology that drives your cell phone is greater technology than launched the space shuttle into orbit? We have faster technology in the palm of our hand than what we sent people into outer space with. And yet we look at it as something that's just, you know, it's a given now. And so what could someone accomplish today if we can do what we've done in our lifetime, man, because they've got every a young person today, an adult, anyone that wants to do something with their life has every tool at their disposal, and it's usually so easy that they don't do it, because what's easy to do is easy not to do as well.
Exactly.
So it's a fire 'em up. But yeah, growing up in the big city of Dora, New Mexico, you know, K through 12, kindergarten, I actually went to Elida, and you know, that's the big rivalry over there. But then from first grade through 12th grade at Dora, and then get to go to Lubbock Christian, and off. And you know, we talked about it a little bit before about you wanted me to talk about my political career. Because I really am serious. From the time I was in the eighth grade, I knew what I wanted to do. But I always thought speaking and training, I wanted to do it through politics. I wanted to run for office. And when I got to Lubbock Christian, that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I was freshman class president. Mm-hmm. I was junior class president. I was student body president my senior year. The year the dorms burned down, remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
I was student
I didn't
body president
that.
The year Johnson Hall burned down in Lubbock.
Oh, wow.
It's a big deal. So that's what I always thought I wanted to do. But, you know, made two attempts at it as I refer to New Mexico as the motherland. Made two attempts, ran for state representative in 2008, took on a sitting incumbent because we didn't like his voting record, thought he had a horrific voting record, took him on. I was 34 years old at the time, looked like I was 12, and that was the year that President Obama won. So as a conservative Republican, not exactly a good year to take on a sitting incumbent, especially at 34 years old.
But quite a race.
It was. And then 2 years later, that seat was an open seat. I was going to run for state representative again, and a group of guys came to me and said, hey, would you consider running for state land commissioner? Which in New Mexico, just like in Texas, it's a big deal. As I found out, it's the second most powerful position in the state next to the governor. Nobody even knows what it does. So after a lot of thought and a lot of prayer, I said, okay, let's do it. This is a fit. I mean, it's dealing with ag. It's dealing with the extractive industries, oil and gas and minerals and farmers and ranchers. I'm like, this is what I want to do. I mean, this is it, right? And so dove into that race and campaigned like there was no tomorrow. 36 years old and ran for 14 months is how long the campaign lasted. I quit doing anything else, and it was full-time campaigning for 14 months. There was four of us on the Republican primary. I won the Republican primary with like 66% of the vote with the four people. The guy who won the Democrat primary had served as land commissioner for 8 years, set out for eight, and was running again for that office. While he was sitting out, he ran for lieutenant governor. His dad was the chairman of the state Democrat Party, and he had the same name, and he's from Albuquerque. So when he won the Democrat primary and I won the Republican primary, I told the kids that were working for me, I said, you know, we're going to have to work twice as hard with half the money because nobody's going to think we stand a chance of winning. His greatest strength is our greatest weakness, and that's Albuquerque. And in New Mexico, that's half your votes. Half the population live in one metro area. So I said, it's going to be an uphill battle, but we're going to play to win. And on election night, you know, it's one of those deals you never forget it. Our race was the last one called. They called the governor's race, lieutenant, secretary of state, attorney general, U.S. Congress, Senate. Our race was the last one called of the night, and they called it, I think it was like 1 in the morning, and Taos County came in, and we lost. And, you know, it's like a gut punch, right? I mean, here I've spent every dime plus a lot of borrowed money. I have spent 14 months of my life. I have aged, as you can see from the picture, drastically,
man,
over those 14 months. And you lose, and you're like, now what? I've invested everything and I have lost.
But, and like I said earlier, I don't remember who told me this, if it was you or your sweet sister. Let's talk about the phone call when you got that little bit of perspective.
Man, I am convinced that God puts people into your life at certain times when you just really need somebody. He puts people into your life, and I'll never forget it. I never went to sleep that night. I am depressed beyond comprehension. I have literally lost everything. I'm just going to have to start all over, and it's a new day. I never went to sleep. I'm really depressed. Family's all there. So, you know, no, it's just awkward, too, because everybody's telling you, you know, oh, we're so sorry. You did so good. But it's just awkward, and you're just blue. My cousin and his wife live on the west side of Albuquerque. They called and said, well, come over for lunch. So we left the hotel where we were having our election night party, heading to their house. I can still tell you on I-25 where I was at. I was headed northbound on I-25 close to the Jefferson exit. Not that I remember, but I can tell you exactly where it was. And I get a phone call on my campaign cell phone. Answer the phone. Guy tells me who he is. I didn't know him. I didn't recognize his name. I don't remember his name. And he said, "Is this Matt Rush?" And I said, "Yes, sir, it is." He goes, "Well, young man, I'm calling to tell you something that you don't want to hear." Well, okay, at this
what
point,
else?
What do I care? I
yeah.
mean, right? Like, big deal. Go ahead. I don't care anymore, right? And he said, "I'm going to tell you something that you need to hear." He said, you're a 36-year-old nobody from Dora, New Mexico, and you only needed another 2.5% to take out a political icon in the Democrat Party of New Mexico. He said, you got nothing to be ashamed of, boy, now just get over it. And I was like, well, yes, sir. I mean, and it was like the grieving process was over. It was like everything had came. I know this has been a purpose. I'm proud of what we did, but it's like, okay, next. And it was like it was over with. And I was like, what great words of wisdom from a guy that I didn't even know, but he really – like slapping you across the face or pouring cold water on you, waking you up saying, hey.
You got I always call it the DiNozzo slap. Right in the back of the head.
Right
in the back of the head, you know?
And, you know, and in retrospect, I look at that. If I hadn't have ran and if I hadn't have lost, I wouldn't have became CEO for New Mexico Farm Bureau because 2 weeks later they had some turnover in their organization and asked me to step in and because of my running and because of the connections, because of my experience, I become the interim CEO for New Mexico Farm Bureau. Promised them a year to help them get through a transition. Ended up staying for almost 3.5, and we righted the ship, and God blessed us immensely. And when we flat out turned some things on and really did some great work, and really proud of that time period. But if I hadn't have lost, I wouldn't have got that job. If I hadn't have got that job, I wouldn't have met the Dale Carnegie people, which Carnegie's a 100-year-old company,
yeah,
known worldwide for speaking. They offered me a job, and I accepted it, gave my notice. They needed some transition time. I needed transition time to find my replacement, so we put in a 6-month transition time. About 2 months into that transition, that deal fell apart. Like it no fault of theirs. It just happened. And so here I'm like, oh, my goodness, here I've quit my job. I had the corner office job, for Pete's sake, and great pay, and I've quit. Now I don't have anything. Again, panic in the streets, right? 10 minutes, I go through all the ranges of emotion. I can still tell you where I was at in El Paso when they gave me the news that this deal had fallen apart. 10 minutes later, I'm like, wait a minute. I know what I prayed for, and I know that this is the right thing, and it's going to be okay. And the next week, the Zig Ziglar family reached out to me. And maybe not, and they made me ask me to come be a part of their organization, and they're just a great fit. They're not afraid to tell you about their faith. They're not afraid to tell you where leadership principles originate and where moral principles originate. So it's just a great fit. So in retrospect, you know, you look back on these bumps in life, and you know, like, if I hadn't ran and lost, I wouldn't have got this job, which led me to this, and if that hadn't have fell through, I wouldn't have accepted this, and it's put me where I am today, and man, everything's hindsight's 20/20, right? And thank God for it, because sometimes when we look back, it looks rough. But and when we're going through it, sometimes it feels like it is a rough deal. Feels like we're gotten held out, right?
Yep. And there's always a place to end up.
And there's always a place.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to visit a little bit more with Matt. And I kind of want to delve into what you're doing right now.
Ooh,
and how you've gotten to take your passion, which is ag, and it's evident to see, and turned it into something really special. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, folks.
Since 1986, Golden Peanut Company has been a global leader in the peanut industry. Golden has been helping farmers in West Texas over the past 3 decades as markets, manufacturers, and consumers have evolved. With their experience, Golden helps growers decide what to do before planting, throughout the season, and after harvest. Contact Kyle Horde at 806-487-6485 today for your next peanut contract. Golden Peanut Company, connecting farmers to manufacturers and families around the globe.
Diversity Irrigation is your full-service Rankey dealer. Durability, ease of use, and state-of-the-art technology make Rankey Pivots energy, labor, and water efficient. At Rankey, the philosophy is simple: to exceed our customers' expectations of quality, service, and innovation. Call the team of pros at Diversity Irrigation at 637-0593 to find out how a new Reinke irrigation system can help score more points in your farming operation. Diversity Irrigation and Reinke together, they're more right than rain.
Tejas Peanut Company reminds you that they are here for the peanut producer. Tejas Peanut Company, located on Farm Road 403, sells seeds for any variety of peanuts. We specialize in runners, Virginias, and Spanish, but you're well suited to the peanut producer and our weather conditions. Call 637-0568 today for seed or peanut contract information. Tejas Peanut Company, handling the farmer's needs from planting through harvest.
Town Talk Radio, the voice of Terry County, is your source for free news and event updates. Listen live at towntalkradio.com or download our free app today. Town Talk Radio is also the voice for regional high school sports, offering internet radio broadcast at no cost to the school. Call us at 806-637-0030 and don't miss another game. Town Talk Radio is a production of Adventure Marketing.
Family-owned Birdsong Peanuts is feeding the world and making Terry County a leader in the peanut industry. From certified seed sales to shelled products, whether runner, Virginia, or Spanish variety, Birdsong can serve the producer's needs. All types of grades of human and animal edible peanuts are processed at Birdsong, including peanut oil, peanut meal, and peanut holes. Birdsong has been serving area peanut growers since 2004. Call 806-637-1800 today to see what they can do for you. Birdsong Peanuts, helping Terry County feed the world.